Frank Frangie here. Hewn Flowers has moved their former Ponte Vedra location to Sawgrass Village. And when I need to send a floral arrangement for any reason, I know I can really count on Hewn. Call 398-8601, hewnflowers.com.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's another Monday around here, and tell you what, a lot of the same old, same old, same old. I hate it. I do. I hate it. There's nothing worse than rolling out of the rack on a Monday after a weekend where your pro team, your college team, both takes an L. I mean, what was it, Emmanuel Sanders, who a few weeks ago in Denver said we're a whole bunch of, what word did he use? Was it suckery or suckville or something like that? I mean, that's just kind of the way that it feels. If you're listening right now, obviously you're a sports fan. It runs through your arteries. It runs through your veins. And, you know, I am defined by many things. I openly do admit that I despise losing so much more than I enjoy winning. And I hope that you out there don't pattern yourself that way. It's an awful, awful, I'm going to call it disease, mental disease. And I'm not making fun of anything as far as mental issues and what have you. It's a very serious situation. I think we're all affected by it in some way within our family, either immediate or just outside. But I do think that that is something that does affect people. It has always affected me, and it's a serious problem. Whenever a team wins for me, it's not even a feeling of overjoyness, or it's more of just a sense of relief. You know what I mean? Perhaps this analogy. Remember when you're little, you're in grade school, maybe junior high, you got to do that oral report. And back when I didn't like to get up in front of people, now I kind of enjoy it, especially when I'm getting a paycheck. But back in the day, you know, listen, you had to get do a book report, and you'd always kind of hide and do whatever. There was always the people out there that wanted to be, you know, maybe you do like three a day in class, and you allow a couple of weeks to go by. You got 30-some-odd kids in your class. You always want to be, like, last to do it. I always looked at it kind of like, no, let's do it first and get it out of the way. And then you do that book report. You stand up. It's an oral report. You do it in front of the entire class. And then once it's over, man, it's like that sense of relief. And you can kick back and watch everyone else now go through it where your work is done. That's the way I've always kind of looked at victories. You know, it's like that sense of relief where the loss becomes agonizing. And yeah, I mean, it's a terrible, terrible situation. Yeah, even to my worst enemies out there, I hope you truly do not bring that with you. My dad doesn't. My brother, for the most part, does not. Friends of mine don't react that way. But anyway, enough of that. Waking up on Monday is really an awful situation. When your college team loses, it just gets blown out the way that Florida State. I mean, it went the way I expected it. And you know, we had the Philly Godfather on here. We had Rafael Esparza on here. Both times with them, I said, lay the 28. I mean, I didn't expect them to play well. So it kind of went the way that I thought it would. Didn't make it any better. Okay, I'm 4-0 lifetime there. Florida State should have flown me in. I'm 4-0 in Death Valley. 4-0 for the Seminoles. They elected not to. Instead, he gave up 42 points. He lost 42-14. And tell you what, Dabo Swinney called off the dogs. He could have hung 60-70 on Florida State if he really wanted to. Sunday was just, it really is a situation where you kind of throw up hands. And, you know, there's a part of me that would like to be the smart guy, the I told you so guy, but that's not true. That's not fair because I absolutely projected a Jacksonville win. I was 4-1 on my Jaguar picks on the year. My only miss was, you know, buying into Kansas City. I guess what I didn't know is that Kansas City would win on the road and put up, what was it, 40 points in that victory over the Jaguars. Instead, divisional opponents can just make their way into Arrowhead, which is supposed to be one of the most difficult places to play in the NFL. Doesn't matter if you're Indianapolis or Houston. Just go right in there and pound the Chiefs. That's what they've done in consecutive weeks. That shocks me more than anything. Kansas City's lost two straight at home. I mean, haven't we already handed Kansas City like the AFC crown, and they're going to take on one of four or five teams in this year's Super Bowl in Miami? My goodness, they've lost two straight at home. But for the Jaguars, it's so frustrating because this is a better team than a year ago. And they're doing and trying, and the effort is there. The coaching is there. It just seems like you fix one part of a problem and something else occurs. Last week, it was 285 yards given up on the ground. Yesterday, that run defense did an outstanding job against Alvin Kamara. All right, Kamara had what? 31 yards, I believe, 11 carries. I mean, overall, they allowed a little bit more than 100 yards, but it was certainly good enough. And they only allowed one touchdown in this game. We pounded the table about hanging on to the football. Do not turn the football over. In Charlotte, you had three fumbles by Gardner Minshew. You know, yesterday, he threw a pick. It was not his best day. Should I have seen this coming? A guy had a knee, a brace, the left knee, with the brace in consecutive weeks. He had a groin injury that he was fighting through. He's a sixth-round pick, and you're asking him to go up against a very good New Orleans defense. Still, I thought Jacksonville would find a way to get it done. It didn't work out that way. Doug Marrone talked about it again this afternoon during his telepress conference. Had one at 2 o'clock today. It's about getting all three phases together at one time. When are you going to be able to do that? The offense, the defense, the special teams. The Jaguars have lost two games this year while allowing only 13 points. Let me repeat that. The Jaguars have lost two games this year while allowing only 13 points. I mean, last year's anemic offense with Blake Bortles, which dropped off by 10.8 points per game from 2017, where they averaged more than 26 a game, would have been good enough to win yesterday. 15.8 wins it, right? They allowed 13 points, and they lost. And obviously they did earlier in the year, going out on the road in Houston. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. On the flip side, they have also lost two games this year in which they have scored 27 and 26 points a game, respectively. So yeah, Doug Marrone hit it today. You got to play a game where all three phases come together. It seems like one week, it's a bad rushing defense. You fix that. The week prior to that, you're not able to run the football. Well, they haven't been able to run the football really in the first half in any one of the six games they've had so far this year. Done a much better job running in the second half in Denver and in Charlotte. Did a better job yesterday. Awful call. I don't want to sit here all night and complain about officiating because it just makes you sound like even more of a whiner. But an awful call on Will Richardson. You can't call a holding when you have a guard who's pulling. And in this case, your right guard who's pulling left. He got the right shoulder in and did a great job in DeMario Davis. And a phantom holding call took away a 14-yard gain by Leonard Fournette. The Jaguars were driving. They were moving it in New Orleans side of the football field. Am I going to say that's a reason why they lost the game? No. But it's a terrible call. It really is. I mean, just an awful call. Go back and watch it. And, you know, that's today's football. I don't know what else to say. You're up against it week after week after week. complaining about officiating, those folks in New Orleans don't want to hear about it. Y'all know what happened with them last year with that pass interference. I mean, as egregious, if not even more, as a matter of fact, nationally speaking, it's far more egregious that Miles Jack wasn't down. Sadly, outside of Jacksonville, I don't know if anyone even remembers that Miles Jack was down. Everyone remembers the non-call last year, Rams at the Superdome against the Saints. I mean, it is what it is. I got knucklehead cronies back in Boston. They don't remember at all what happened when Miles Jack isn't down. I'd find it interesting that if you picked up the phone right now and called the most credible members of the media in Indianapolis, Houston, and Nashville, they wouldn't remember Miles Jack is down. But everyone's going to remember the non-call last year between the Saints, or on the Saints, in that game there against the Rams. And, you know, Doug Marrone yesterday threw a flag. The Chris Connolly situation was absolutely a pass interference. No doubt about it. But we have seen the results. This is a bogus rule. Why did they even put this into play? They're not reversing calls. Period. I'm on the Jaguars radio broadcast. We were talking about it yesterday. Particularly Buscelli, who had just worked a Thursday night game out in Foxborough, where there was a late call there and it wasn't overturned. It's not going to get overturned. And can you imagine if a pass interference call was overturned against the Saints, the same organization that did not get the call last year to go to the Super Bowl? No. I mean, I still understand what Marrone was attempting to do, but you weren't going to get the benefit of that call yesterday. All right, we got a lot to choose from on this Monday. The way I've been doing things as of late, and I kind of like the way that it's going, is to get you involved early in the week on Monday and Tuesday, because I want to allow you to express the way that you're feeling. And unfortunately, right now, for most of you, it's not good. 641-1010, that is the phone number on the Jaguars game. You can get me on the text line at 641-1010, built by Lifetime Enclosures. Also, Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Ballou with you tonight till 9, show produced by R.J. Saunders. Playing a lot of feel-good music early on tonight.
Yeah, listen, More Money, More Problems by Biggie Smalls. Are you kidding me?
Biggie, who shot Biggie?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
Biggie still alive? Tupac still alive?
That's what they tell us.
Jim Morrison still alive? You know who Jim Morrison is?
I've heard the name.
He's an L.A. guy. You're from L.A.
Should know it because I'm from L.A.
Actually, Morrison, I don't think... I want to say Morrison was like a military brat. I know he spent a year at Florida State. Maybe he's actually from the state of Florida. Of course, the Doors got together while they were smoking doobies out on the Pacific Ocean. And Ray Manzarek, the keyboardist, walked up to Jim, who was preaching gospel, and they formed a band. That's a true story. Tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. They are hiring right now all throughout Jacksonville. That includes in Clay County, where you can pick up a $1,500 signing bonus if you have a CDL, a commercial driver's license. Again, $1,500 signing bonus. Just apply online. Go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. All right, I really thought the Jags were going to win this game. It's not the end of the world. They're 2-4. I hate cliches, but it's a must-win. I hate cliches, but take it one game at a time. You got to go into Cincinnati now and win this game. Cincinnati's not going winless. And I told you there was no fear factor at all, with at least the interviews I did in New Orleans or the interviews I did a week ago as well in Charlotte. They felt that they were going to win those games. New Orleans going to come in here, and, you know, I guess you heard the comments yesterday by Ted Ginn Jr., kind of taking shots at the fan base, coming off the head coach Sean Payton. I thought that was kind of cheap. You know, I understand the message. I think some things are better off unsaid in this case. Just my way of looking at it. All right. I mean, listen, there is a difference between playing here and playing in some other places in the National Football League with storied histories, you know, and lifelong season ticket holders who pass them down. I mean, you can't even get a season ticket right now in a place like Green Bay. But I just thought it was a cheap shot. All right. There are some elements that do not favor the home team, including that sun. It was hot on the field yesterday. I didn't think it would be brutal. You know, I don't listen to the local meteorologists because they don't know what they're talking about. But and I was told 83 degrees, you know. I was thinking this would be great. I'll walk up and down the sideline. I'll break a little sweat. This will be just – it was freaking hot out there. That heat index was ridiculous. So, I mean, don't worry about me. I'm okay with it. But I worry about you. You might have gone in there. I hope you brought your bottles of water and stuff along those lines because it was hot. I mean, it really was. All right, let's grab a few of these calls. I can't believe I had three on here and a couple of folks hung up like I'm long-winded or something. 641-1010, that is the number. If you would like to join us, your thoughts on what the Jaguars did or did not do yesterday. Let's get after it. Let's get things started by going to Dominique, first up tonight with Rick Ballew. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Greg. How you doing? I enjoyed talking to you. I've seen you at training camp. I'm a big Colt fan, and I know you're going to say, why a Colt fan calling in? But speaking from as a Colt fan, I think that y'all defense played good yesterday, and I really think y'all can win the next two games if y'all defense – the defense played pretty good yesterday. If the offense can be a more consistent, I see y'all winning the next three games, Mr. Rick.
You know, as I said, I'm not a cliche guy, Dominique, but it is one game at a time. You got to go into Cincinnati now and win that game. The word winnable has been used around here more than I can ever remember. It's a winnable game in Cincinnati. It's a winnable game a week from Sunday against the Jets. Although Sam Darnold last night, I mean, who had the Jets over the Cowboys? Sam Darnold, you know, looked relaxed. He looked comfortable in the pocket. So, you know, nothing's a given around here. You know, I haven't bet in over 8 years. But if I was a betting man, I would have taken any scrap of cash I had and put it on Kansas City yesterday over Houston. Based on the simple scenario that there's no way you can convince me that Kansas City's losing two straight at home, and they did. So I don't know. I mean, this league is tough. But you're talking now about consistency. And again, the issue right now with this football team is they seem to fix one part of the game and then something else becomes problematic. I thought the offensive line did a real good job yesterday. Now, I've always said this. The offensive line, for me, is the hardest position to evaluate for someone who never played the game. So I do trust others out there, and I listen to what they say. Tony Boselli on the broadcast crew, obviously I listen to him. I talk to people like Leon Searcy, Greg Huntington. I love to ask questions about the offensive line because it's the most difficult thing for me to look at. I can tell if a wide receiver is running the right route or is getting separation. Yesterday, the Jaguars wide receivers were not getting separation. They were not. I thought Dennis Allen and the Saints defense did a real good job. They saw some stuff on film. They didn't allow Minshew to get outside of the pocket. You know, as far as pass protection, I thought the Jaguars did a nice job. I mean, there were a couple of sacks there yesterday in the game that came on Taylor, two on Taylor by the veteran, whom I think of, Cameron Jordan, who played a nice game. But outside of that, I mean, Minshew, I thought, had ample time. I thought the secondary did a nice job. And, you know, every once in a while, you got to tip your cap and say that was a great job done by the Saints in the secondary. But that's where this football team is at right now. You fix one problem, and then something else does occur. I said all week I thought the Jaguars would do a real good job against the run. You know, Najee Good played well. Leon Jacobs played well. I thought Miles Jack had a nice game. They played the run well. You know, they did allow a couple of third down conversions that hurt, no doubt about that. And Teddy Bridgewater is the ultimate definition, in my opinion, of managing a football game. He did that here yesterday. Let's get back to some of these calls. Go to Mark next up with Rick Ballew on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. How you doing, Mark?
Rick, how you doing, buddy boy?
All right.
Well, it's a Monday. It's a sad, sad Monday for Jaguar fans. Here's the deal. I've lived all over the country. I drove a truck over the road, blah, blah, blah. I've been everywhere, right? I ain't never been nowhere. I ain't never been in no city. That's a double negative, is it? I just use a double negative?
It's allowed on this
never
show.
Been in no. Okay. I ain't never been in no city. Ain't never lived in no city.
Mm-hmm.
Where one guy, one dude, said, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up my football and I'm going to go home. And here's what I mean by that. The Jaguars are 2-4. They could be 4-2. I honestly believe, I'm saying right now on this talk radio show, here it is at 8:15 or whatever, 8:30. I don't know what it is. I don't know what time it is. I've had a couple of benzopines. I don't know.
Yeah, it's 7:28, but you're close. Right.
Okay, if Jalen Ramsey would have been playing football for this football team the whole season, they'd be 4-2 instead of 2-4. I never experienced nothing like this. Never, ever, dude. Ever. Can you remember experience like this where one guy held up a whole city where he said, look, let me tell you something, dude. Either you bring the Brinks truck or you're not going to make the playoffs. That's bad, man. This is new. This is something new.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like this before. You're right. I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew had a holdout. I mean, there's been nothing that's even close to this. The MJD one wasn't close. All right, let's get to my take. It is brought to you each and every night, brought to you by Villa, based right here in Jacksonville. And it will be involving Jalen Ramsey tonight. Villa is Jacksonville's first and only home ownership company. Call them at 524-1165. Listen, I've known Jalen since he was 18. I've known him since he was a true freshman, or I should say known of him. I've watched every game in his career. This is a fierce competitor. This is a guy who I think is a vicious football player on the field. As the Jaguars sideline reporter, I see a lot of things that I do not talk about. I hear a lot of things that I do not talk about. Jalen Ramsey has always been this to me, a guy who has played hurt, a guy who goes out there each and every play and gives it his all, and a man who absolutely cannot stand to lose. If you can get away for one moment of the feeling of Jalen as being a prima donna, being egotistical, and being all about him, he loves to win and cannot stand to lose. I have never been so mystified in my life. The latest now is nothing debilitating as far as the back injury is concerned. The Jalen Ramsey that I have always known with this type of injury would give it a go. He's always given it a go. He played hurt a year ago. I don't know what to tell you. There's many who believe that he has flat out taken his ball and decided to go home, and that he's healthy enough to play. There are others who have said, no, he must seriously be injured. That's the reason why he's not being out there. I just hate it for everyone in this organization. If he is healthy and he's not playing, this is a crying shame, because he should be able to go out there and do it simply for the guys next to him, his teammates. If this is about a beef with the organization and about a beef with the front office, he has handled it as unprofessionally as anyone that we have ever seen. But until I get that word, or you get that word, I'm not going to destroy Jalen Ramsey. I'm not going to do it. Each day that goes farther without him playing, yeah, I'm a little bit more concerned. Yeah, I'm listening to the other side a little bit more than I was, let's say, 3 weeks ago. But my reasoning on this is what I just told you. From the time he was 18 years of age, this kid has not been afraid to ruffle feathers and wants to go out there and play. And again, more than anything, despises losing. Right now, I got my hands up. I honestly do not know what is going on with Jalen Ramsey.
10-10 take.
Yeah, I love her. She sounds like she's in a tube or something. Kind of like from outer space. We send her in. All right, thank you to Villa, Jacksonville's first and only home ownership company. Make home ownership simple by focusing on the customer and delivering an extraordinary home buying experience. Call them at 524-1165 or go to villa.com. All right, let's come back and grab some more phone calls. Believe me, if I knew Jalen was faking, I'd come out here and yell about it. I don't think anyone out there would challenge me on that. I respect the game too much. I respect him too much, even though it's getting harder and harder to really be like, what's going on here? This is a man's back. And I've talked to so many different people about this. The one situation I can't get over would be this. If he was healthy, or excuse me, if he did have a contract, if he had a future contract, and he was happy, would he be playing? There's a lot of ways to ask questions. That's the one that has gotten me more than any. If he had, if it was not Miles Jack, but it was Jalen Ramsey who got the bag, and he was signed for the long term, would he be playing? That is the toughest issue that I have with this. That's a difficult one for me. All right, let's come back, grab some more from you. Also, Shenatry Chiropractic will give us the very latest on Florida State. They do that each and every Monday at around 7:40. We'll get to that on the other side, plus more of your phone calls. 641-1010. I'm Baloo. We go till 9.
Let's go into the night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, the Lizard King, Mr. Mojo Rison, born and raised in Melbourne, Florida. So, Jim Morrison was way ahead of his time. To all you people out there texting, he knew this then. Died in Paris at the age of 27. Just amazing. Love the Doors. Love the fact that they were able to get through at a four-man band without a bassist. I mean, that who does that? The Doors did. Proud Florida State. Not alum, as I am, but Jim Morrison obviously spent a year at Florida State. Back to your phone calls in about 90 seconds. It is time for our weekly report on FSU, brought to you by Shenatry Chiropractic. Unfortunately, Keyshawn Helton gone for the year. A guy gave a little bit of a juice to this wide receiving core. He was their second overall leading receiver, gone for the year with a knee. That was a big blow. Florida State, you know, was just pounded by Clemson, and I think we all expected that, so that's not a surprise. Marvin Wilson yesterday, who's become a true leader on this football team and probably the guy who will be the first one to get drafted in this class if he elects to come out after his junior season, actually had the guys run extra gassers because he said he saw pouting on the sideline. So if there is a positive to take out of this game, Willie Taggart himself said a year ago they quit when they got destroyed in God's country. This time around, they were completely outmanned, but at least they didn't quit. So if you're into moral victories, and I know there's a lot of millennials listening, there's a lot of people in Generation Z listening, you are absolutely a part of moral victories. That, I mean, that's your modern-day makeup. And it's not your fault. It's your mom's and your dad's fault. Not your fault. You could take that with you. Okay. It still boiled my blood. I don't care. I don't care if Clemson is that much better. It still boiled my blood. And to wrap, there was one play in this game that just absolutely defines what's going on with the program right now. It was a penalty on Florida State. At the time of the game, it was 42-0 Clemson. They show Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney is chewing out someone's ass. And this is not the kicker that he got some negative press from because the kid missed a kick. This was another part or another point during the game. 42-0, and Dabo is chewing out one of his players. They show Taggart on the other side, whose team just had a penalty, and Willie's not doing anything. He's barely got a freaking pulse. These are things that bother me. They really are. And I think the best way for me to say it would be this. Jimbo Fisher took a program that was terrible. He made it elite. He won a natty. Jimbo also, because he's a little baby, he's a little Kardashian. He wasn't getting his way, so he stopped recruiting. And he became the ultimate diva. Willie Taggart took over a program that was fledging. But it's crystal clear to me that Willie Taggart is never going to be able to rebuild Florida State. Let's get back to your call. 641-1010. That is the number. Let's go to Jeff, who is next with Rick Belew. How you doing tonight, Jeff?
I'm doing great, Rick. It was my first game of the year, you know, because I was expecting a win, so I wanted to be there. And from the beginning of the game until the last drive, I saw no sense of urgency. They didn't, I mean, it seems like with a home game, you'd want to light it up, you know, like a couple long balls, you know. But what really set it off for you was like the second to last drive when we had another chance to go down there and score. We were within one score the entire game. They run it on first down, run it on second down, and then it puts us in a third and long situation. And I just don't understand. I just couldn't see a sense of urgency from the team yesterday. It was a disappointment.
You know what? I understand where you're going with this, and I'm just going to tell you what I believe part of the issue was. Number one, they were beginning to run the football, at least somewhat, against a very good defense, which you have to credit Dennis Allen and this secondary. All right, Marshawn Lattimore is a Pro Bowl corner. He, along with a safety, did a tremendous job with double coverage on DJ Chark. They basically took him out of the game. Yesterday, the Jaguars had trouble separating themselves from the secondary. It was not a great day for Chris Connolly or D.D. Westbrook when it came to getting open. They just were unable to against a very good secondary. So, you know, I think that that's part of it. I also have to look at Gardner Minshew, and he looked like a rookie. He looked like a sixth-round rookie. That's absolutely fair. That's the way that he did look yesterday. He looked a little skittish to me at times. He looked like he had some happy feet at times, and I thought that the offensive line was doing a nice job as far as pass protection. I think you also have to seriously consider the fact that maybe he was a little bit more banged up than we knew. I mean, he went out there in his second consecutive game with a brace on his left knee, and he had the groin. So, I mean, this is a guy yesterday who's dealing with a couple of issues. He did not throw the deep ball the way that we saw in the four previous starts. I think some of that was by design. He just looked like he was off. And perhaps Coach DeFilippo figured that in a game like this, it wasn't working. He wasn't going to have him throw. I don't know if his confidence was rattled after the pick. Now, that very same drive, I'm trying to remember if it was Dede or if it was Conley, there was clear miscommunication, not on the interception, but earlier in that drive. Because I talked about it on the Jaguars radio broadcast yesterday. You know, and I said this during yesterday's broadcast that after every single Jaguars possession, Nick Foles comes over and sits with Scott Milanovich, the quarterback's coach, and with Gardner Minshew. After the pick, he went straight to Keenan McCardell in the wide receiving core and stayed there for just about the entire possession. And he was down, you know, squatting, talking to the wide receivers. So, again, I have a rule that I'm not allowed to report on anything that I hear. Okay, that's an NFL rule, not a Jaguars rule. I can report on anything that I see, and I did report on that. I did not take my headset off and listen for the words because that's not what I'm allowed to do. Anyway, I found it very interesting that Nick Foles, right after that possession, went to the wide receiver. So, I don't know. Some sort of miscommunication, some sort of not being on the same page yesterday. That happened as well. I think that was a good call, though. I think your point is accurate. And, you know, they just did a real good job yesterday against these wide receivers. I mean, the tight end has been eliminated for the most part. You're able to run with some success, again, better in the second half than in the first. But they completely took the deep ball away. Absolutely they did. Let's go to Mac, who's next up with Rick Ballew on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. How you doing, Mac?
I'm doing well, Ricky Ballew.
Good.
Listen,
yep.
You were talking, and huge Miller Lite fan, by the way.
Good.
You were talking earlier about Jalen always being a winner and so competitive. Well, listen, I played ball. Your daddy was a baseball coach, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we all like to win. But he is losing on this thing, okay? And we're losing. It's some of the reason. I think we can win without him. I understand all that. I ain't going into that. And I'm just so done with Jalen. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not the NBA where you can hold somebody hostage. So if he's a winner, okay, he's going to be the ultimate loser from his crappy behavior. And you, there's one thing that in my feeble mind, okay, that tells me, hey, man, you're the loser in the long run. You know, you can't, I mean, who wants somebody that's, and listen, he's a fantastic athlete. And I agree, he's the best damn defensive corner in the league. But golly, Rick, I mean, you know, we're all losers because of this. And maybe I'm throwing a bunch of animosity out there, but I'll tell you what. I'm not blaming all this on him, but holy cow, man. And it's always a distraction from the team. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's no flow.
Right.
And there can't be a flow when you're always waiting on to see what he's going to do tomorrow. So, and you said Jimbo Fisher's a prima donna. Maybe he watched Jimbo be a prima donna. Maybe it's just soaked up into his brain, Rick. Something's going, you know, I mean.
Well, listen, I mean, you bring up that side. Thanks for the call. I mean, listen, there's Matt Hayes wrote about it recently on Bleacher Report, but I've been talking about it for a very long time. James Coleman's been talking about it for a very long time. Jimbo catered to the stars, and it began with Jameis. I don't have a problem with that because they won a national championship, and as far as I'm concerned, that's big business. I'd rather have my coach catering to the stars and have them winning 29 straight and winning a national title any day than getting pounded the way they did 48 hours ago to Clemson. I'll take the former over the latter. As far as Jalen is concerned, I disagree with one aspect of this. Jalen's still going to get his. Is he going to get $19, $20 million a year? He may not get the huge sum that he thought he would get. But when you're paying Xavier Howard $46 million guaranteed and $76.5 over 5 years, what's Jalen really going to be able to command in the open market? And we see Jadeveon Clowney. We see Antonio Brown. We see what's going on with Trent Williams right now. I mean, players are finding a way to force themselves out of a team. Someone is absolutely going to take a shot on Jalen Ramsey, okay? Because what his agent is going to say is that he is completely fed up and disgusted with what happened here. He needs a change of scenery and that this guy can still ball. He's too talented of a guy. So I understand what you're trying to say, and I think a lot of our listeners out there would agree with that. But I'm telling you, man, this is pro football. And you don't find guys like Jalen Ramsey. There's still going to be someone out there who is going to pay this man a tremendous amount of money when it's all said and done. All right, let's stay with it. Let's get after it in the 8 o'clock hour, for crying out loud. 641-1010, that is the phone number. What about the takeaways? The Jaguars, they have forced one takeaway from their defense in six games. They got one other on a muffed punt against Tennessee. Not good enough. One by the defense in six games. Let's come back and get to the other side of the football as well. We'll do it till 9 o'clock tonight. Glad you have joined us. My name is Rick Ballew. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's 8 o'clock. We go till 9 Monday right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, listen, I enjoy your feedback. I enjoy your phone calls at 641-1010. I enjoy your response on the 1010XL text line at 641-1010. And as well, your tweets. Ballew, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. One thing that I have done my best to try to avoid over the last couple of weeks, and I even got angry. I know that's a shock. I even got angry at one particular time about it because I thought it was way, way, way too ahead of the story. And that is this. Hey, Ballew, what happens when Nick Foles comes back? I just went out and bought myself a mustache and I cut up a pair of jeans. Who's going to be the starting quarterback? And I would pound the table and say, whoa, whoa. Relax, people. Relax. Let's win some games around here before you start dropping what-ifs on me. I mean, it's amazing. The only crazier what-if I received in the last 3 weeks is I had some knucklehead in a honky-tonk convince me that what if Rosie O'Donnell actually used utensils to eat? My response was, well, she'd probably lose 30, maybe 40 pounds immediately. That's not going to happen. Slow down. I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to do that. You're a fan. You're allowed to do whatever it is that you want. But you got to win games. Okay? And all of a sudden now, he's lost three out of his five starts. Is it his fault? No. Has he totally impressed? Yes. Outside of yesterday, where he looked like a sixth-round rookie. Yeah, you know, I did my best to avoid this, but I upset some people when I said, I'm going back to the $88 million man. To me, there was absolutely zero comparison between what we saw with Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew in the month of August. There was none. Zero. And I understand who they were practicing with and how they were running with the first team and the second team. I'm not poo-pooing the Minshew situation. What I'm simply telling you is relax. relax. Because when you start wishing and wondering about things like this, what typically happens? A worst case scenario. It's never a best case scenario. I have people saying, oh, the Jags are going to win all these games. They're going to beat Carolina. They're going to, you know, they're going to knock off New Orleans. They're going to beat Cincinnati. They're going to beat the Jets. They're going to go to London. They're going to win all these games. They're going to be 7-2. And I'm like, well, are you really? Okay, well, now you're 2-4. So, careful what you wish for around here. Seriously. Calm down on it. I mean, especially for this franchise, who, as much as I love it, has been a losing franchise. I mean, all of a sudden, the guy does some great things, and people are talking about how they're just going to run off 6 in a row. And they're going to be 7-2. I mean, it's almost comic to me. And listen, I thought they'd knock off New Orleans. Some of you people beat me up, call me some pretty naughty words when I thought that Carolina would win that game 2 weeks ago. I just thought Carolina would win it. So, get through Monday. Get through tomorrow on Tuesday. Let's find out how healthy Gardner Minshew is. Let's see if they can knock off a wingless Cincinnati team on the road. I mean, you talk about putting the cart ahead of the horse. Wow. And I understand that that's the way that fans do think. But it's one thing to be thinking things along those lines in a perennial playoff city where you just plug someone in and it works. It's another when you're coming off a 5-11 year. And you've got injuries. You've got your best player who knows what's going on with him. And Jalen Ramsey. I mean, who really knows the truth right there? You know, listen, I'm not trying to do this as I told you so. But I freaking told you so. Calm down with all this crap. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Well, you know, listen, I was at the barber shop today, and here's what I look at. The Jaguars go to Carolina and they win. They absolutely pound the Saints here. No one, I mean, come on, you kidding me? I mean, for crying out loud, they could bring back Steve Berline, they'd win at Cincinnati. Then here come the Jets. They've already used 3 quarterbacks. They're going with Sam Darnold, you know. No one's getting more ass than him. He'll be sick come game time. They beat the Jets. They go to London, that intangible. Houston doesn't know how to travel. They'll beat Houston. They're going to be 7-2. They're not 7-2. They're 2-4. Stop giving me hypotheticals about who the quarterback's going to be when Nick Foles comes back. Win the games you got to win. Unbelievable. I mean, it just really boils my blood. That's why I did my best to eliminate that crap on this show. Because it is. It's total crap. You got to win the games. Not some fantasy type of, oh, what if? I mean, what? Of course you're going with Nick Foles. You spent $88 million on Nick Foles. He looked like the better quarterback. Am I giving up on Minshew Mania? No way. No way. I love him. I love the story. I think he's great. But this is a best case scenario. Maybe you have 2 quarterbacks. When you start looking for things like this, the worst happens, starting with you lose games. Guys get injured. I mean, I just can't believe it. Gosh, man, I love you people. But you're acting like Tennessee Volunteer football fans. You know, you lose to Florida for the 19th consecutive year. You lose to Alabama for the 37th consecutive year. And then on that Tuesday, you get a four-star guard out of North Dakota, and you're telling us that Tennessee next year is going to be the team to beat. Calm down. I mean, enjoy a win. Hypotheticals. I'm here. Oh, you know, trade Foles. Trade them. Get a tight end. Get a future third round. Okay. So some non-playoff team right now is all of a sudden going to take Nick Foles, who's proven that he can't play a 16-game schedule because he's brittle. They're going to take on all that money, all that contract, let the Jaguars sit on a dead money contract after already sitting on a Blake Bortles dead money contract. I mean, it's the worst scenario. The guy played 11 snaps, and he got hurt. Not only is this organization snake bit, I mean, you got bit by the freaking Black Mamba. All right? Enjoy the fact that you've been able to plug in a quarterback and you've been able to win some games. It just absolutely just drives me crazy that instead of enjoying the moment and focusing on winning games, that hypothetical is out there after the game in London. I mean, you think you're going to beat Houston now? You nearly beat them a month ago. Houston just went to Arrowhead and won. Okay? I mean, you've lost two straight. Are you convinced that this team goes into Cincinnati and wins on Sunday? They open up as a 3.5-point favorite. Some early money coming in on the Bengals. It's already dropped till 3. Are you convinced that this team is going into New York and winning? I watched them play a real bad game in New York. Got out of there just barely alive. New York just beat Dallas. Dallas. That's not a gimme. These games aren't gimmies, folks. Yeah, Baloo, we were talking about it. In my cubbyhole, I work in this. I'm into telemarketing, and you know, I had a break, and we were talking about it. I got the Jags winning the next 7 here, and what are they going to do at quarterback? I say trade Foles, eat the $20 million, get a third round pick, a tight end, and stay with Minshew. I mean, the stuff I'm getting. What? What are you talking about? Crying out loud, man. I mean, let the guy get a couple of starts under his belt. It's no blast on him. I love it. Can you imagine what it would be like around here if he wasn't the quarterback? Could you imagine what it would be like around here if it was Josh Dobbs or Tanner Lee or Magoo, whoever it was, and the Jags were, heck, they've lost the last 2 anyway. They were losing all these games, and everything around here was about Jalen Ramsey? Could you imagine if Gardner Minshew did not lead that team, that if Emmanuel Sanders stayed in bounds, and that clock went all the way down to a couple of seconds, and Minshew didn't lead that drive, and Lambeau didn't make that field goal, well, they would have lost 3 straight then. And I think that got Todd Walsh off of the hot seat for at least 1 week. We saw what happened to him the next week against Charlotte. I mean, you held onto the ball for 24 minutes and 30 seconds. Actually, it was 25:30. You allowed Denver to have the ball for 4 minutes and 30 seconds in the second half. And they carved up Jacksonville in that last possession. Think about what would have happened then. You would have had three in a row on the other side, and you'd be sitting here with a record of 1-5. Saying, here we go again. And I know it's not all of you. It's some of you. But every time I got it, and every time I heard it, it just totally raised my blood pressure. It was like, just calm down here, folks. Let this thing play out. You were convinced that this guy was going to win every single game he went out there to play, and that this team was going to win all these games. What if they lose them all? Did anyone ever consider that? I mean, this is a losing franchise, right? I mean, just wake up, people. Crying out loud, man. I mean, there's nothing I love more. But don't hypothetical me on it. It's just a waste of time. I just wasted 12 minutes on this. I mean, you're such good people. So, and I'm really surprised because you're good sports people. You're good football fans. How you could get so sucked into that conversation without allowing the games to play out. The guy's taking a lot of shots to the lower body. Not this past week. They did a wonderful job with him. But just wake up a little bit, people, all right? Wake up.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, thanks to Advanced Disposal. They bring you tonight's show. They are hiring right now all throughout Jacksonville. And if you want to drive in Clay County, it includes a $1,500 signing bonus. Just apply online. Go to AdvancedDisposal.com/careers. Need a commercial driver's license. $1,500 signing bonus. Go team up with Greg Huntington, one of the 10 original Jags. Good folks at Advanced Disposal. Good to see Huntington. A lot of former Jags in town this weekend. Talked to a lot of guys. Aaron Beasley, Jimmy Smith, John Yurkovich. A lot of good guys back. Yurkovich and I relived classic conversation that I remember seeing Yurkovich at the old Sloppy Joe's, the same place that John Daly had his meltdown when he just completely lost it. And I was in attendance for that along with Lex and Terry, who I believe are coming in next weekend for the Jets game. I go back and forth with Lex on Twitter and stuff every once in a while. But anyway, one night I was out just drinking, you know, doing whatever it was I was doing back in the mid-90s. And I bumped into Yurko. And this was before Twitter and before, you know, news had come to me that Yurko was staying with the Jaguars. He had redone a deal. And he was playing pinball upstairs at Sloppy Joe. So I walked by and I said, congratulations, Yurko. You're staying for one more year. That's great. He looked at me and he goes, F-bombin' Ballew was his response. He goes, you're the only guy I know that after taking a $700,000 pay cut, you congratulate me. And we kind of relived that story yesterday. He's doing this now in Chicago. Matter of fact, my former producer is his producer now. In Chicago. It's great to see Yurko. Great to see a lot of people in town this weekend. All right, let's get to some of these calls. You know, here's the 7405 who says to me, clearly not Minshew's fault. Our record where it is after one bad game and you're back on board with Foles. Answer me this. Can you honestly see Foles outproducing Minshew? So you're dead wrong. And listen, I selective hearing or whatever type of hearing you have, I This has nothing to do with me not supporting Gardner Minshew. This has everything to do with me criticizing some fans out there who put this situation way ahead of what is really taking place. Those who projected six straight wins in a major quarterback controversy. Listen, there's nothing I'd love more than for Gardner Minshew to win this weekend in Cincinnati and to beat the Jets here next week and to beat Houston in London. If they do that, they win three straight, then I think it's a real difficult decision that this organization has to make. But I also thought they'd win yesterday, and they didn't. And I think that, you know, they probably should have been able to win in Carolina. They didn't, even though I picked Carolina. They gave up 275 yards on the ground. Gardner Minshew fumbled the ball three times. That's my point on this. It has nothing to do with him. It's more with just relax, people. I mean, wow. It just doesn't make any sense when you're 2-4. That people are talking about stuff like this. 1652 says, Minshew looked like he went out on Saturday night. Where was the confidence? He looked scared. Where did the freaking happy feet come from? Well, we talked about that at the beginning part of the show. He did have some happy feet. I don't know if it came from the week prior where he was getting hit. They didn't do a great job in Carolina. As far as the pass protection, I thought they did a much better job yesterday as far as pass protection. Outside of the rookie Juwan Taylor, who allowed two sacks in the game to Cameron Jordan, I want to say Minshew only got hit three times yesterday. Minshew was not himself. They took away DJ Chark. Dennis Allen and the defense did a real nice job. They confused him. They didn't allow him out of the pocket. He did. He looked skittish yesterday. That's fair. The 77-70 says, of course Foles is the better option, as well he should be. Why is that a bad thing? Well, it's not a bad thing. What I'm trying to tell you. There's not anyone alive who watched them practice with any sense of credibility at all who would tell you that Minshew looked better than Foles in the month of August. No one. And if so, they're a bald-faced liar. Either that or they have no idea what's going on. I mean, it wasn't even close. What Gardner Minshew has done has impressed everyone. No one saw this. If you did, you're a liar. What he did in Denver, what he did against Kansas City, what he did in Houston. I mean, this team has been trailing in 5 out of 6 games. 4 of those games have been trailing in the second half by double digits. This man has led every time back, he's led them. He had 3 fumbles. They allowed 275 yards. They had 9 penalties for 84 yards last week in Carolina, and he had the football during the last possession with a chance to tie it. After what Denver did to Jacksonville at home during their last possession, where they went 75 yards in less than a minute, did you really think that Gardner Minshew was going to pick up on the after taking shots to the knees? He was in agony. I mean, how tough is this guy? In that pass he made to Conley and the pass he made to Westbrook to set up Lambeau? I mean, he should be heralded forever for doing that against a desperate team. In front of a crazy fan base, he did it. So, you know, I just enjoy the good things. But don't hypothetical this deal. I mean, I just don't understand it. And it's not all of you. It's just a small portion of you. And again, it has nothing personally to do with him. I'm overjoyed by him. He's a humble guy. He's a great individual. And I think he's got a chance to really be a good quarterback. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is that if you're convinced right now that he is a franchise quarterback and that he's going to be the guy that this is it, that Nick Foles has been Lou Gehrig'd, you know, that he's been Wally Pipped. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. And I'll give you the cheat sheet. Wally Pipp had too many Manhattans one night. Probably told Joe McCarthy, right, or Miller Huggins, I'm guessing Joe McCarthy, I can't play today. They plugged in Lou Gehrig, and he never missed another game until ALS came in. I don't think that you can determine that this early in his career. If it happened, it's like the greatest story of all time. It's the greatest story in the history of this franchise. You got a sixth-round draft pick after you spent $88 million on a guy who played 11 snaps. In this sixth-round draft pick was so dominating that the $88 million man never got back out on the field. Folks, that is the absolute best case scenario. And would I want to see that happen? Absolutely, I'd want to see it happen. That's nothing personal to Nick Foles. Are you trying to tell me with a sixth round money that I wouldn't be in love with the fact that the Jaguars found this guy in the sixth round? And they got a franchise quarterback that they can hang their hat on and build around him from here. Of course I'd take that in a heartbeat over a 30-something-year-old, $88 million man who's proven that he can't stay healthy. Of course I want to go with Gardner Minshew. Absolutely. But, I mean, let's watch him play a little bit. Let's see what's going on around here. Until you start making these ridiculous assessments. I didn't plan on doing this tonight. I honestly did not. You know, but I do open things up to your phone calls. I open things up to your, texts. And sometimes I just react. That's my opinion on it. Again, I want to be crystal clear about that. This has nothing to do with him. It has to do with some of the fans who have put the cart way ahead of the horse. The 0956 says, yeah, Jalen is great. He doesn't want to be here, and I'm over it. Trade him for the best offer and call it a day. Move on. It's like the ex-girlfriend that doesn't want you, but you keep trying to convince her it'll be better. Move on. I'm sick of hearing about him and acting like a spoiled little. Well, you know. I think most of Jacksonville is with you there. Not everyone. But most is. It's pretty amazing right now how this fan base. I have never, some, myself included, probably hung on to Gus Bradley longer than he deserved to be here. I'm never afraid to admit when I'm wrong. I'm guilty of that. Blake Bortles as well. I'm guilty of that. I used to battle T-Wig about that. I used to battle Joe about that. Okay, that's fine. Obviously, last year, it didn't take long for me to see the writing on the wall. But I have never seen a division of a fan base the way that I have with Jalen. And now that's beginning to turn. It seemed like 3 weeks ago, old school Jaguar fans were of the get rid of this guy, he's destroying the franchise, where the younger generation, the millennials and Generation Z, were like, shut up, old man. Jalen's the greatest thing out there. Others got to go. The front office has got to go. Keep Jalen happy. I'm starting to see those people now begin to take a turn. So even, and you know, hey, listen. I think I made myself crystal clear about this. I've been defending Jalen for, since day one. It's becoming a lot harder for me to defend Jalen. I still don't have proof that he's faking the injury. That is a serious accusation. It really is. That is a tough, tough thing to say, that this man is faking. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Because if he is holding this organization hostage and he's letting down his teammates the way that he's doing it, that's just terrible. That is so unprofessional. That is so bad. It's because of a rift with one or two people. That's just, there's nothing that can ever fix that. I mean, that's beyond. And that's such a shame. I mean, this man was he was heading for a situation where his number was going to be retired. I actually thought, you know, this guy had a chance someday to be a Hall of Famer. That good. But anyway, I got a ton of you blistering him today. This is how things have changed. Again, I listen to you. I read what you send me. I got about 20 to 25 here pounding him. Not one supporting him. Okay, if you think only old school is listening right now, that old men are listening right now, you're crazy. The younger generation is too. Not one supporting him now. That's turned. That's turned over the last week or so. Maybe 2 weeks for some of you. Maybe it was yesterday that did it to you. But that's really turning against Jalen now. I've watched it. I've watched it evolve right in front of me. Let's get the news and notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. It's next.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we're here till 9 tomorrow night. The ladies of Helmets and Heels will be on from 6 to 8. Therefore, I'll be with you 8 to 10. I love the folks at night. It's when the wicked scary folks come out. At night. It's October, one of my favorite months of the year. I love Halloween. You a Halloween guy over there, Mr. RJ Saunders?
It's actually my brother's birthday, so I've turned into a Halloween guy.
Halloween, the actual date is your brother's birthday.
The actual day, yeah.
Okay. Not bad. Bad at all. Just love Halloween. Love Halloween movies. Just love it. It was great when when the kids were young. It was the best. The whole trick-or-treating deal. Jacksonville does Halloween great. My home neighborhood, Bartram Springs, does it tremendously. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to be in an airplane this year to London. I wonder if I could get the pilot to maybe delay that flight so I can stay for Halloween because, you know, what do you think?
You want him to delay the flight to stay for Halloween?
I think we leave on Halloween on the 31st. For the trip to London. I'm just guessing. I don't know when we're going to leave. It will be, Cincinnati? I remember, it's the Jets back home after that. I was going to say, I remember like 7 years ago, we spent a whole week in London. We went from Cincinnati to London. But recently, we've been leaving on Thursdays. And that'll be interesting. Josh Oliver, some Jaguars, hopefully get some good news here. Today, Doug Marrone says he believes there's a chance that he will be able to play this weekend. And they need him. After what happened with Jeff Swaim, he's in the concussion protocol. They're really beaten up right now. James O'Shaughnessy, of course, placed on the IR 1 week ago. Let's plug our good folks over at TruckCrashLaw.com. If anyone you know has been injured out on the road by a truck, tractor trailer, RV, a bus, anything like that, and it has deeply affected a family that you know, because an injury did occur, a serious injury, or even if it was fatal, make sure you tell them about my buddy Joe Camerlengo and his law firm. That is truckcrashlaw.com. This is all they do. This is their expertise, and they're the best at it. They're number one. Truckcrashlaw.com. I cannot believe that Deshaun Watson outdueled Patrick Mahomes and that the Chiefs lost two straight at home. I mean, that just makes no sense to me. None at all. That is the biggest surprise. That surprises me, honestly, more than Georgia losing to South Carolina. This is the single biggest surprise for me this weekend in all of sports. I just, not that, you know, the Colts going out there and winning was a surprise, but I kind of figured that, you know, the Colts were so physical, they got it done in the ditch, and that every once in a while a team plays poorly. But after the way that they lost, to lose two straight at Arrowhead? And we're not talking about going into Charlotte or going into some of these other places. Sean Payton was here. He'd say going into Jacksonville. I'm not going to do that. You know me. I'm timid. But two straight at Arrowhead, this blows me away. They're number one, right? Actually, they're number 30th in the NFL against the rush. Giving up 162 yards a game. That's alarming. I know the year the Colts won the Super Bowl, way back when with Peyton, they were last in the NFL in rushing defense. You do not find, for the most part, that equation ever working for you. If you have a bad rushing defense, chances are, you know, you're not going to win unless you have a completely explosive offense like the Colts had that year with Peyton Manning and, obviously, like what we have right now in Kansas City. But when you give up a lot of yards on the ground, what does that do? That shortens the game. That means Mahomes and company is on the sideline because teams are putting together long, drawn-out drives. Marcus Mariota out, Ryan Tannehill in as far as Tennessee. And, you know, the Jaguars' next opponent after Cincinnati, Sam Darnold, was, you know, probably shocked number two for me in the NFL over the weekend. Comes back from mono, 338 yards, couple of touchdowns. Jets get a huge win, their first of the year. They do knock off the Dallas Cowboys. Let's get to some of the fall here after Georgia and their loss to South Carolina. Georgia just looked completely out of sorts. You know, a lot of people now questioning Kirby Smart, not allowing Rodrigo Blankenship to attempt a 55-yard field goal with 8 seconds remaining. That's so common. I mean, to go for a field goal, to not go for a field goal, I'm going to put that on the same scope as a two-point conversion. All right? Go back to week two. You know, Jaguars, you know, obviously Houston, chance to tie it on the road. And do you do things on those lines? They went for the two-point conversion. They didn't make it. I mean, this is the classic Monday morning armchair quarterbacking where all the experts come out. And it's always when you miss or you don't decide to do something, go the other way. And in this case, that's what's going on right now with South Carolina. But, with Georgia, Kirby Smart said absolutely positively if he could do it all over again, he wouldn't have made any changes at all. All right, let's look at the college football playoff after what happened. You know, Florida lost to LSU. Very entertaining game. LSU's just a better team, and that's a nasty place to play. Since I love hypothetical so much, I will tell you this. If that game was in the swamp, may have gone the other way. Dan Mullen's a hell of a coach. He really is. He is a very, very good coach. College football playoff, the very latest as far as the odds now after the Georgia loss and the Florida loss. Alabama 5-2, Clemson 5-2, Ohio State 5-1, LSU moves up to 10-2, Oklahoma 6-1. So those are your top five. Again, Bama, Clemson at 5-2, Ohio State 5-1, LSU 10-2, and Oklahoma 6-1. Now we start getting in the teens that do have some losses in there. Georgia 12-1 ahead of still an undefeated Wisconsin at 16-1. Penn State 25-1. Looking forward to the whiteout this weekend. Penn State in Michigan will be a lot of fun. Auburn 40-1 with Michigan and Notre Dame. I thought USC showed a lot of guts on Saturday night. They played hard. Utah 40-1. Florida and Oregon 50-1. And that is, how the hell is Texas A&M in here at 80-1? Aren't they 3-3? As a matter of fact, I know they're 3-3. I don't know why am I asking you. Of course they're 3-3. So what are you trying to tell me? That if Texas A&M wins out, wins all of their games, that they're going to win a national championship with three losses? That's what Vegas is telling us. All right, latest numbers there. Out of Las Vegas. There you go. News and notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. They are the only law firm in the state of Florida where this is all they do. If someone has been injured or if it was fatal and it happened out on the road because of a truck, tractor, trailer, RV, a bus, make sure you send them in the right direction. That's my my good friend Joe Camerlengo, who I believe was in Baton Rouge. He's a Gator. He was there over the weekend. But his law firm is TruckCrashLaw.com. They're based right here in Jacksonville, and they're the only law firm who does this statewide. That's TruckCrashLaw.com.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Did someone say game day? Here at Moe's, we've got your back so you don't have to miss a single play. Order your tailgate catering online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, he is here. He's Denny Thompson. Let's get ready for the sports den.
You know why they've got Texas A&M 80-1.
I do not.
Man, that fan base is delusional. Somebody's making that bet. That's free money.
You know what? I should have thought about that. You're so right. I mean, that's great.
That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I guess I was looking at it a little bit more realistically, but that's a great point.
Yeah.
There may be some people out there that will do that.
Somebody in College Station woke up this morning and saw that bet and said, man, I'm hopping all over those odds.
Some of those folks are getting restless with Jimbo already.
Of course they are. Of course they are, man. It's this whole college scene is interesting right now. We're going to talk
about
it.
But why if you're at A&M? They've never won anything. Seriously.
Because I just said, they're delusional.
Okay, they're delusional, but, you know, all these other fan bases that are going crazy right now, Michigan, even though they've played well the last couple of weeks, you know, Florida State, Tennessee, whatever, they've won before.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M is a blueprint for a loser. They haven't won anything
since
the AP poll era.
Southwest Conference days, right? I mean, even then they didn't really win. It's what, leather helmets, basically. But people, you know this, man, people associate money with automatic success. I mean, with anything, Jalen right now, everything is money, 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 money. So they go spend a couple hundred mil on facilities, go spend 75 mil on a coach. And of course, that's supposed to mean success right away.
I've always looked at it as money equals happiness. Why do you think I'm so freaking rosy?
Oh,
could care less if the Jags lose and the Florida State loses. I'm rich.
Yeah, you're sitting in your mansion.
Yeah, I'm rich. I'm rich. Yeah. I mean, money's a tough like this, though. And, you know, when you roll in and you love sports so much and your team loses.
It was a bad weekend.
It's just a terrible weekend.
It was a really bad weekend.
At least
all the
Yankees
around.
Lost yesterday. They took extra innings.
Well, at least. See, you were in the heat yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the field. At least we were in air conditioning for that snooze fest.
Yeah. I love it, though. I love being on the field.
Oh,
I love the gig. And plus, I can afford to sweat out a couple of LBSs.
No, I love your gig. Like,
it's fun.
It is. I would love mm-hmm. – I mean, I'm a little too long in the tooth now to start that. But I would love to try that out one day. Not at that level, like at another level, but because I think being on the field is special.
And they really, I think it was like, I don't know when it happened, but it, you know, when I was covering Florida State for all those years, I would always be on the field at the Swamp and on the field at the Orange Bowl. Even in the years that I would fly in from Chicago, they used to just hand out credentials, and I hated the press box.
Mm-hmm.
I go on the field. You can't do that anymore.
No.
They don't allow you on there the way they used to.
Mm-mm. No.
The NFL as well, I mean, they do a great job. I mean, you see it on the road, too. You see it here. They let people come out before the game if you're, you know, a sponsor or somehow you get them before. But as soon as toe meets leather, man, you are off that sideline.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And now it's basically in college reserved for pregame recruits and and big money donors.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically all it is. But, no, there's something special about watching a game on the field, especially. Nope. I've had the opportunity to do it with two NFL games, and I'll be honest, like the first one I did, the first quarter, I couldn't find the ball. It was that fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's like.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I do miss Jalen is that I've been very lucky to watch Jalen play every game. I mean, just to see him go head-to-head. I mean, I would love to. I mean, just talk to maybe Green's going to play this weekend for Cincinnati. We remember what happened last time those two got together here. You know, you love to see it, but, you know, yesterday, instead, it was Lattimore. Watching what Lattimore did traveling with DJ Chark, no matter where Chark was lining up, was a pleasure to watch him. Marshawn Lattimore is truly turning into one of the great corners.
No,
in the
NFL. Definitely is. And I'm a Saints fan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love, from a Saints perspective, I love to see them be able to win a game like that because in the past they haven't been able to. They have to win, they have to be in the 30s.
Yeah.
To win, but to kind of see that shift and to see Sean Payton kind of turn a new page in the way he calls plays, even, is pretty cool as a Saints fan. But we'll talk about it from the Jags' perspective. I mean, I think it is – I think everybody has said it today. It is must win these next – at least two, probably three, since the third one's Houston now.
Yeah. Well, you got to stop the bleeding right now. And listen, we saw the Jets win yesterday. Did anyone believe that the Jets were going to beat the Dallas Cowboys?
No.
That's kind of like it is right now. I mean, I don't think a lot of people – I don't think anyone in this town does. Mm-hmm. But do people really think that Cincinnati – is going to be Jacksonville. That's what kind of worries me is that they're not going to go winless. You know they're going to win a game at some point.
Oh, absolutely. No, I haven't seen the line yet, but I would imagine.
Went from 3.5 to 3. Jacksonville favored by 3.
Close to the home field 3. Oh, no. So, okay. Yeah, they're in Cincinnati.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Close to a pick 'em then.
We'll see. I mean, listen, I don't know. I thought the Jacksonville Jaguars would win last week.
I did too. I didn't have a reason why I did, but I did too.
Yeah. My reason was. You look at divisional leaders, they all have like 35 or more points scored than allowed. New Orleans went into that game scoring 115 points, allowing 116.
Really?
They have gotten out early, maintained, and been able to keep teams off. And if you had told me that the Jaguars would only allow 13 points, I would have taken that in a heartbeat. So I was wrong.
Yep.
Denny Thompson coming up right now. Thank you to our producer, RJ Saunders. Denny with. James Coleman and JJ. For RJ Saunders, folks, I'm Rick Ballew. I'll talk with you tomorrow from 8 till 10, the rest of the week, 7 to 9, except for, of course, Friday. That'll be 5 to 7.